Following is a presentation of Refuge Calvary Chapel, Huntington Beach. For more information about our ministry, please visit refugefamily.com.
I love that song, especially when oceans rise. My soul will rest in your embrace, for I am yours and you are mine. Lord, may that be true with us tonight, that we rest in your grace, that we rest in your mercy and have faith that you'll pull us out, Lord. We thank you for that truth. Amen. Good evening, Refuge. How is everybody tonight? Unfortunately, my dad is not here. For those of you who don't know, my dad's Bill. I should clarify that there for a second. But he is teaching a couples thing tonight, I think. So he asked me to help him out tonight, and I agreed. So he's starting a new series tomorrow, so it's going to be completely different tomorrow. So you can't get out of Sunday morning church by being here tonight. Sorry, guys. We'll see you all tomorrow, bright and early with those new service times. If you have your Bible with you, open up to Ephesians chapter 1. If you don't, it's okay. I'm going to read really slow. And I'm reading out of the New Living Translation, so it might be a little bit different there. We're going to go from verse 1 to verse 14. This is a letter from Paul, chosen by the will of God to be an apostle of Christ Jesus. I am writing to God's holy people in Ephesus, who are faithful followers of Christ Jesus. May God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ give you the grace and peace. All praise to God the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms because we are united with Christ. Even before he made the world, God loved us and chose us in Christ to be holy and without fault in his eyes. God decided in advance to adopt us into his own family, bringing us to himself through Jesus Christ. This is what he wanted to do, and it gave him great pleasure. So we praise God for the glorious grace he has poured out on us who belong to his dear Son. He is so rich in kindness and grace that he purchased our freedom with the blood of his Son and forgave our sins. He has showed his kindness on us, showered his kindness on us, along with all wisdom and understanding. God has now revealed to us his mysterious plan regarding Christ, a plan to fulfill his own good pleasure. And this is the plan. At the right time, he will bring everything together under the authority of Christ, everything in heaven and on earth. Furthermore, because we are united with Christ, we have received an inheritance from God. For he chose us in advance, and he makes everything work out according to his plan. God's purpose was that we Jews, who were the first to trust in Christ, would bring praise and glory to God. And now you Gentiles have also heard the truth, the good news that God saves you. And when you believed in Christ, he identified you as his own by giving you the Holy Spirit, whom he promised long ago. The Spirit is God's guarantee that he will give us the inheritance that he promised and that he has purchased us to be his own people. He did this so we would praise and glorify him. Let's pray with me. Lord, thank you for that grace. Thank you for dying on the cross for us. Lord, teach us tonight through your word what it means to receive the grace that you have, that you've paid for, Lord. We thank you. So I want to talk to you guys tonight about grace. Most of you know that I've got two awesome little sons, Micah and Noah, 7 and 5. They're crazy. They're both completely different. And I tell them both that they're my favorite all the time. And they know that. But God blessed me with both of these guys. And it's my job to raise them right. I remember when Micah was born, February 15th, 2006. After 3 days in the hospital, my poor wife, 52 hours of labor, this little 10-pound, I shouldn't say little, this giant 10-pound, 5-ounce baby came out. It was like a man-child. It was huge. I looked down at this kid, and because she was in labor for so long, his head was kind of shaped like a cone. It was kind of a cone head, and it was kind of like flat, and I was really concerned. And I think dads, you can all agree with me. I mean, you love your kid when you first see him, but they kind of look like aliens, just a little bit, especially Micah. I think he's out there listening, so he's gonna give me a hard time later. But he was crying. You know, and that day, my life changed. I remember thinking, why do I love this kid so much? I don't even know this kid. I've loved him since the second we found out that we were pregnant. I was really happy when we found out we were having a boy. Got way too many girls in my family. But I remember thinking, why? Why do I love him? He hasn't done anything for me. And you know, as you go on, all they do is they poop and they cry and they eat. Poop, they cry, they eat. You change a diaper, they cry, they eat. They don't sleep. You know that, those of you who have kids. They don't sleep, but I loved him before he was born. And in this passage, Paul says, even before he made the world, God loved us and chose us in Christ to be holy and without fault in his eyes. God decided in advance to adopt us into his own family by bringing us to himself through Jesus Christ. See, God loves us so much and loved us before we were even humans that he adopted us collectively, all at one time. Anybody remember in elementary school, maybe it even goes up to high school, I don't know, but when you have team captains, and everyone goes up against the wall or whatever, you know, there's 10 kids, maybe 11 kids, just for the odd number. And you got two team captains, and they come out, and they say, I'll take Johnny, and I'll take, and then, you get going on. And remember, I don't know if you were ever picked first. I was once or twice. It was awesome. But when you weren't picked first, it was really awful. So all of a sudden, it's like, what? I'm not the best anymore? And then when you're picked last, it's like the heartbreak. Nobody wants me. See, God is our team captain, and he wants us, and he comes out and he picks every single one of us collectively at one time. We're all number one in God's eyes. We're all God's favorites. Let's read that again. Even before he made the world, God loved us, and he chose us in Christ to be holy and without fault in his eyes. God, again, didn't and doesn't look through the glass of a parent that needs to adopt a child doesn't look through and say, I'll take that one because that one's cute. He takes us all, every single one of us, all at the same time. And how does he do this? Paul says through Jesus Christ, and we know that, by sending his son, the only one that can take the sins of the world and crush them. Does anybody, you don't have to raise your hand, you can if you want. Anybody been given anything in like a really desperate time of need? You think, I don't know. I don't know how I'm going to move forward from this. I have. I've been blessed with a lot of stuff when I needed it. But what's our initial reaction? And I think this is probably more for guys than for the ladies. We're like, nah, no, you don't need to do that. It's fine, you don't need to do that. But you say it 3 times, right? Like that's the rule, you say it 3 times and it's okay. But I'm not sure why we feel so bad receiving a gift without working. It's not bad to work for something. Most of the people that I know have a really hard time even receiving a cup of coffee as a gift. You know, we fight back and forth.
And maybe it's because they don't want to buy the next one. I don't know. Me and Jesse always go back and forth. Jesse is my brother-in-law, if you don't know that. We go back and forth, and let me get this, and then like I'll get the next one, and then we end up like at Fleming Steakhouse or something, you know, getting a steak. So there, it can be scary sometimes, but you see, there's a problem with us. With us humans, we feel we just can't receive. We think we don't need help. I think is where it comes down to, is that we feel like we can do it. We can do it all on our own. I can work to make more money to pay the bills. I can do this. I can do that. I can handle it. And if you're in here tonight and you feel like you can handle it all on your own, you can't. Even if you're doing good right now, you need somebody. You need something. You need God. We need to get rid of our selfish pride and just receive the gift that is being given or offered to us by Jesus. Cannot be bought by anyone. We don't have enough. Not a single person in here collectively. None of us. We don't have enough, nor do we have the proper currency to purchase this gift. It's not enough to sacrifice your time. It's not enough to give your money. It's not enough to just open up your home to somebody who needs it. It's not enough to just feed the poor, clothe the poor. It's not enough to love the loveless. All of those things are great, and they're awesome. They're loving. But that's not enough to get us into heaven. And it never will be. See, I know people that are not Christians that are better at those things that I just mentioned than some of the Christians that I know. More honest, more upfront, more real. But my heart breaks for those people that are not Christians, that haven't been saved by the grace. They haven't received this grace that's been given. And my heart breaks because they're not going to be in heaven with us. No matter how good you are, it's not enough. We never have enough, and we never will until we receive the grace that God offers free for everybody. It's out on the table for you to receive it. And it's never snatched away. It's never yanked away, this grace that God gives, that God offers. I'm a huge fan of music, just most genres of music I love. I love lyrics that are thought-provoking. I love chord progressions or leads or whatever that just really kind of flows in my body, and I kind of, you know, get way into it and start punching my steering wheel when I'm driving down the road and start screaming out, and a lot of the stuff that I sing in my car is worship, and I'm yelling it out. And I think that God is still speaking today. I know that God is still speaking today, the same truths that are in this book. The same truths that are in the Word of God, the Bible, He's still speaking. I want to read to you guys a song. I know it's a little weird to read a song, but I'm going to do it anyway. I'm going to read these lyrics. I didn't write them. A guy named Dustin Kensrue did. He's a worship leader up at Mars Hill, also part of a band called Thrice, which I don't know if they're together anymore. But if you get a chance, listen to the song. It's called Not Enough. Though the wealth of men was mine to squander, and towers of ivory rose beneath my feet, were palaces of pleasure mine to squander, the sum of it would leave me incomplete. Though every soul would hold my name in honor, and truest love was always by my side, my praise is sung by grateful sons and daughters, my soul would never still be satisfied. And the chorus is, it's not enough. I could walk this world forever until my shoes are filled with blood. It's not enough. Though I could live for all to lift them higher or spend the century seeking light within. Though I indulge my every dark desire, exhausting every avenue of sin. It's not enough. I could walk the world forever until my shoes are filled with blood. It's not enough. I could right all wrongs or ravage everything beneath the sun. It's not enough. It's not enough to make me whole. It's not enough, and it never was. Awake my soul. It's not enough. Though all would bow to me till I could drink my fill of fear and love, it's not enough. And I think Dustin, he nailed it there in those lyrics. It's not enough. There's not a single thing that's enough that we can do. Our feeble attempts to please God by doing something or not doing something is, in my opinion, a huge waste of time, energy, and brain power. I'm sure that I'm not the only one who's done this in here, but how many of us have made a deal with God, you know, like, I'll do this if you do this. Or I'll start reading the Bible more if you get me a new car. I don't know. But we think we can please God by what we do. And the sad part is we think we cannot receive grace until we've done we've gone on a mission trip, or we've fed the multitudes of starving people, or finished the Bible like 7 times, and then I can receive grace because I know everything that's in there, or led 20 people to Jesus, and so on, and so on, and yada, yada, yada. My friend would say, jada, jada, jada. Here's the thing. The grace that God offers is not performance-based. It's free. And once we receive it, we are just as Paul said, holy and without fault in God's eyes. Does that mean that once we receive grace, we can continue living in the sin, the ways that we've lived our entire lives, and you know, the things that we've done, the things that we've said, the things that we have apologized to God, you know, for? It's not it at all. Paul says in Romans chapter 6, he says, well then, should we keep on sinning so that God can show us more and more of his wonderful grace? Of course not. Since we have died to sin, how can we continue to live in it? Or have you forgotten that when we were joined with Christ Jesus in baptism, we joined him in his death? For we died and were buried with Christ by baptism. And just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glorious power of the Father, now we also may live new lives. Grace is not a bank account. It's not an investment. We don't deposit sin and then get grace. We are given free will, and we're chosen again, and we're adopted, and we need to make that choice to simply receive the grace that's given. And when grace is received, lives are completely transformed, and you won't live that life anymore. Living a life of freedom by grace is how chains are broken. We sing about that all the time. Paul was an amazing communicator. I feel like he could reach into the hearts of everybody with one message. He didn't have to preach a few messages to get people to understand. And what I like about that is it makes it really easy for me, who feels very limited in vocabulary, you know. But I can just pretty much read these letters. All of us can pretty much read these letters that Paul has written and understand it and get it. I'm going to ask the worship team to come on out. We're just about done. I know it's crazy. It's really short, but it'll be longer tomorrow. Maybe 5 minutes longer. I don't know. I'm going to read to you guys Ephesians 2. And if you'd like, you can turn there as well. Once we were dead because of your disobedience and your many sins. Now, again, it's not technically dead, but spiritually dead. You know, when you're like, I'm dead inside. That's what they're talking about. That's what he's talking about. You used to live in sin just like the rest of the world, obeying the devil, the commander of the powers in the unseen world. He is the spirit at work in the hearts of those who refuse to obey God. I don't know about you, but you know when you say, like, I want to receive, I want to do what's right, I want to do this, and I want to be held by Jesus. You know, that feeling of wanting to do it right, and then you hear that in the back of your head that says, you're not good enough. You shouldn't receive that. Think about what you did this morning. Think about what you did 2 weeks ago. You're not good enough for that. If that's happening to anybody in here, that's the devil lying to you. In your head, you need to squash that because it's not true. Paul goes on to say, all of us used to live that way, following the passionate desires and inclinations of our sinful nature. By our very nature, we were subject to God's anger, just like everyone else. But God is so rich in mercy, and he loved us so much that even though we were dead because of our sins, he gave us life when he raised Christ from the dead. It's only by God's grace that you have been saved, for he raised us from the dead along with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms because we are united with Christ. So God can point to us in all future ages as an example of the incredible wealth of his grace and his kindness towards us, as shown in all he has done for us who are united with Christ Jesus. God saved you by his grace when you believed, and you can't take credit for this. It's a gift from God. Salvation is not a reward for the good things that we've done, so none of us can boast about it. For we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things that he planned for us long ago. You are God's masterpiece. I know I'm joined by at least one fellow woodworker in here. Jim makes some awesome stuff. I like to build things. I like to make things out of junk. I like to make tables out of pallets and make them just awesome. That's what God does with us. He makes us new. By receiving that grace, you are made whole. There's nothing that anyone can do or say that's going to make you whole except for receiving the grace. Again, you were chosen before you were born. He adopted you into his family, no questions asked. There were no forms to fill out. There was no underwriter. There's nobody saying, well, you shouldn't be in here because, except for the devil, and he's an idiot. He paid the price. Jesus paid the price that only blood can satisfy, and only his blood can satisfy. And he paid it once, and he paid it for all. And he wants to give it to you. Again, it's not enough or possible to work your way to heaven. It's not enough. It's not enough until you receive the grace that God gives. And please, tonight, if you haven't received that grace, receive it. The prayer teams are going to be over here to my right, your left, at the cross. You can do communion as well. But tonight, if you have not received the grace that God gives freely, I'm pleading with you. Receive it. Change. There's nothing that's going to make us whole. There's nothing in this world that can make us whole. Like Dustin said in his song, I could walk the world forever until my shoes are filled with blood. It's not enough, and it never will be. Tonight, receive that grace. Lord, we thank you. We thank you again for that grace that you've given to us, Lord. We thank you for the gift of your Son, the gift of your Son's blood. Lord, though we'll try to repay, we can't. Lord, we thank you again. Fill us tonight with your grace and with your love. Show us your mercy, Lord. In your name, amen.
This has been a presentation of Refuge Calvary Chapel Huntington Beach. For more information about our ministry, please visit refugefamily.com or call 714-891-9495. Set free.